hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that many women face after incarceration. We're going to be talking today about a situation that happened to me at getting my driver's license renewed. And I want to relay this to you because I want you to hear the different things that happened to me that day, the reasons why I think they happened, and how to deal with it. And we're going to be joined with my wife, who is there with me. We're going to talk about this in detail, and I think there's going to be some information in there you can use as you're working through reintegration. This is something that I've run into before. I think you can relate. We're going to be talking about it right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. It's where I belong. Well, hey, everybody, sure do love to hear from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. And if you've got any suggestions for a show, let me know that too. And we'll certainly try to figure it out. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back. We're going to be talking today about, as I promised, about a situation that happened to me where I think we can learn some things about coming back into society from reintegration. I have Rose here with me, my wife, Rose. Hello, Rose.
Hi.
And we're going to... She was with me when this happened, and it was a trip to... get my driver's license renewed. I do this once a year. I have to because of my felony status. Even though my sentence is discharged, I have to get a driver's license annually. So I go through this every year, but it's never been like it was this year. And let me just start by saying that in all fairness, every year since I've been home, which has been 12 years now, I get a letter from the Texas Department of Public Safety telling me that that they could ask for proof of citizenship if they wanted to, I guess. But they've never, I mean, that would be like a birth certificate or a passport, and they've never done that. And so, but this time, I recently had a birthday, and it was time to renew, and they ask for the birth certificate, and I kind of jumped to conclusions on this situation, but just, you know, very briefly, so you have some context, the lines were horrible, as everybody knows in all these places. You get called up there after 2 hours of waiting to talk to your little person in their little booth there about your situation. And, well, when I walked up there, I kind of joked with her a little bit about how long it had taken, and she just joked and laughed back. And I want to make this point. I handed her my driver's license in the form that you're supposed to fill out. And so she tap, 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 types on the computer, and her face went from a smile and, you know, being nice to just stone cold. And the reason for that, I've seen this happen before. It's she saw my record and she saw what my felony was, and so, and why I was there once a year. And so I saw her facial expression change, and I knew that I knew right there that she was, and I've seen this before where they've been still continued to be, you know, cordial, but it can go south quick. And it did with her, because she said, okay, I need to see your passport or your birth certificate. Okay. Well, first of all, like I said earlier, I've never been asked to show my birth certificate before in these 12 years that I've been home. And plus, you know, when I got out and I came home, I had to get a driver's license where I had to show all that information. So it hadn't really been that long ago. I mean, 12 years, but, you know, they don't have a record of that somewhere, you know? And so luckily, I do have a certified copy that I keep in a safe deposit box, which is something that you might want to think about doing. And we were able to come home and get the birth certificate. And the way it worked was they told us that, and I asked them, well, you know, if we got to go do this, is there a way that we can expedite, you know, the line since we already waited in line for two hours? And they said, yeah, you know, you can do that. And so we went home and got the birth certificate. And the whole time we're leaving, I'm thinking, you know, this isn't right. They are screwing with me. They must have some sort of, you know, leeway on asking people for their birth certificates. And if they're asking me, why are they asking me? Is it because I'm a felon? Is that why? And so that kind of stuck in my head. But when we got back and they had jumped through whatever hoop they have to jump through in order to expedite us up to the front of the line, which is what they told us that they would do. When we got to the point where they take a look at that information, they said, well, whoever did this didn't put the information in right. Isn't that what they said, Rose? They said something like...
Yeah, like it wasn't in the queue right or something like that.
Queue meaning line. We weren't put back in line properly. So here's another red flag going off, for me anyway. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're screwing with me, and I don't like it. And so we sat there again, and we were supposed to go to the front of the line, but we could see that the teller, who they sent us back to the, I'm calling them tellers, I don't know what you call those people, but the DPS worker who renews your license, when we were waiting, we saw that she was calling people in front of us. She knew we were there because I let her know. We were back, and I told her that they told us to come to her, which is what they did. And she was calling people in front of us. And so now here's another red flag. So we got three flags. They sent me home for a birth certificate. When we got back, we hadn't been put in line properly the way that they do everybody else, apparently. And then they were supposed to take us first, and this woman was refusing to do that. She was calling. So now I'm getting pissed. I mean, this is getting, you're screwing with me for absolutely no other reason than the fact that I have a felony and have to come in once a year. Now, at this point, Rose gets up and she goes and finds someone who did not have a customer, somebody that they're working with. And she asked them if they would take us. And, you know, that's not how it works at the DPS, but he did take us. It was odd. And we went up there and he, you know, slam dunk. It literally took less than 3 minutes to renew the license. And he saw the birth certificate, but he just kind of waved it around. I never really saw him take a good, solid look at it. So that was our experience, and I'm very angry. But during this whole time, and one of the reasons why I wanted Rose to come to the podcast with me today is to talk about some things that she noticed that she felt like I was dealing with for the first time, and she was right. Now, there's a lot more to the story, but we're going to have Rose talk about what she noticed, and then we're going to talk about what really happened. And I'm not going to give the end of the story away yet, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Seems like I should be getting somewhere. I can go where no one else can go. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. We're talking today about a situation that happened to me. And just to give you a little bit of a hint of how this is all going to turn out, it could be that maybe I was wrong about some things. And that's kind of the point of our discussion today. But this point I was not wrong about. And Rose is going to talk now about what she noticed in me that day that I think you might be interested in. So take it away, Rose. Tell me, I guess you can start by telling me what you saw in me that you felt like I was experiencing.
Well, I mean, I'm Hispanic, so for a lot of my life, I have dealt with discrimination, something. It's usually really subtle, but you can see it in people. And you've got different stories where it's happened to me. And I think that as I was younger, it was more prevalent, I guess, or I could see it more in people. But as, I don't know, society and as life progressed, I mean, it's still there, but it's really underneath, and you can just kind of hint, or you just kind of see just a little bit of it. It's not so obvious. But in this case, I could see that, you know, my husband, who has never dealt with that, is experiencing what I've dealt with all my life. And so you're not going to change anybody's perspective, you know, from one minute to the other. I mean, they're always going to have their prejudice, and nothing you do and nothing you can say is going to change that for them or you. And you really just have to be the better person and just kind of go along and do what you need to do to get on the other side of what you need from that person. In this case, we needed her to process his paperwork. And I was kind of just telling them, you know, kind of like, well, welcome to my world.
Yeah. And it was an eye-opener for me, because as she explained that to me, I did kind of feel like that's what was going on there, that it was a kind of discrimination that, you know, being a white male, growing up in a nice home and so forth, that, you know, it's nothing that I had ever run into before, and I sure didn't identify with it. I thought that I was being singled out, really, because of the felony. But they did tell us this. They said that they were doing this to everybody, that everyone had to show a birth certificate, which I found to be unrealistic. I mean, how are you possibly doing that? The guy that did finally take care of us and finalize all that paperwork in, you know, less than 3 minutes. I mean, for God's sake, you're renewing your driver's license. How hard could that be, you know? And so he did tell us that Texas had been cited for failure to, I don't know, it has something to do with Homeland Security and Donald Trump crap. And so for the next year or so, and starting in May of 2019, they became required, in order to become in compliance, to ask for birth certificates and to see proof of citizenship. So, even having heard that, I was still a little leery. I did find out, though, and here's the twist to the story. I did find out a few days later, I guess it was, that this was the case, that they were asking everyone for their birth certificate, and that it was a temporary situation and they wouldn't do it again. But right now, during this time period, they are. And so lots of things to point out here. The first one is that feeling of discrimination. We're going to take that and just set that to the side for a second. But here's the thing. The main point that I wanted to point out. I could have gone off on that girl. I came real close to doing it. I was so freaking angry. I couldn't see straight. I was getting to that point where, you know, there's a line I can cross where it just gets ugly, and I was getting close to that. And I think if you throw a fit in that place, you probably end up in jail. Not probably, you will end up in jail. So, excuse me, I tried to not blow up. And when we left, I purposefully didn't look even in that direction. But I came really close, and guess what? I was wrong. It was not what I had assumed. And I'm reminded of something Rose and I have talked about here recently, something called Occam's Razor, which is a principle of logic where if you've got all these assumptions being made, that's probably not the truth. The truth is probably the most direct answer. And the direct answer was that they told me the truth. They were looking for people's birth certificates, and they were going to continue to do it for the next few months, and it was everybody. It wasn't just me. So, but let's take, so, I mean, I almost blew up and got in trouble for absolutely nothing. I mean, it would have been sad if that would have happened, especially for that reason, for no reason at all. And so I think we need to be careful with, just touch that. Yeah, thank you. We need to be careful with jumping to conclusions. And we need to think about, you know, sometimes people are telling the truth. Maybe you're not being discriminated against. Maybe you're not being treated poorly because of your felony. Maybe they're just doing their jobs, and that's kind of what happened there. And so I think there's a lesson to be learned there. I think it's a real important one. But let's also talk about the discrimination part of this, and we're going to do that. I mean, the way I was feeling about, I wasn't being discriminated against, but the way I was feeling about discrimination, and we're going to talk about that right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Welcome back. So I thought I'd been discriminated against, but it wasn't the case. And nevertheless, it was a very frustrating feeling when I was thinking that was happening to me. And I kind of got, I guess, a little bit of a feeling of what it's like to be discriminated against. I mean, I'm sure that in my job search, when I first came home, I mean, I knew that I was being discriminated against. And even when I would get a job, it was the tension was in the air. First to go for sure if they needed someone to go, and that was always the case. And so this was different though, and I think the best way to describe it is that feeling of frustration. So I've kind of developed a little bit of a strategy on how to deal with this feeling of frustration in public, and it's kind of to keep me from getting in trouble. I mean, I don't mean to laugh about it, but I really, you know, just like you're the first one, or I'm the first one, last one hired, first one fired, and all that. Well, if you ever get in a little altercation, you're going to be the first to go to jail. Me, you, all of us, because we have this big X on our back. So anyway, we're going to talk next time about this strategy that I've developed. And I want to also remind you that you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I love to hear from you. And like I said earlier, if you've got an idea for a show, I'd love to hear it. And I often use those ideas, and I'll be in touch with you if you know someone that you think would make a good guest as well. And so be sure and catch me at Mathers Rodney, M-A-T-H-E-R-S, R-O-D-N-E-Y at yahoo.com. And I want to thank you for being here today and remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.